It's Christmas Day, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader and Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman, wishing you a very Merry Christmas on this 25th of December. Today, we have these headlines from the Williams Grand Canyon News website, williamsnews.com. Our first, Williams resident keeps home after local support. Then, feds close to releasing draft environmental review of Colorado River management options. And then Williams to ring in a new year with first ever car drop. Turning to that first headline, this is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 23rd of December. Williams resident keeps home after local support. Williams. The success story of Ernestine Ernie Garcia keeping her home of nearly four decades after a battle over legalities highlights the importance of community. When Garcia, 80, was served notice in August that legal action had been taken to seize her West Meade Avenue home on the grounds of encroachment, she went to her friend and advocate Colleen Meehan, an associate broker at Bankers Real Estate, who helped jumpstart a local campaign in support of Garcia, a Williams resident since 1964. According to Meehan, a limited liability company from Wyoming had gotten an adjacent property through tax foreclosure, saw Garcia's house encroached by only 100 square feet, and was gambling with a lawsuit to see if they could also get her home. Within a week, a front-page article in the Williams News called on people who knew Garcia to fill out affidavits to support her in the legal fight. Alan Duncan, owner of Bankers Real Estate, also jumped on board, hiring an attorney and funding a survey of the property in support of Garcia. However, he said it was the property owner facing foreclosure who was the real hero for going to pay the taxes, which ultimately stopped the suit against Garcia. Duncan called the maneuver from the LLC an attempt at legal theft, something he said is not uncommon around the country. This could happen to anyone. If they don't know about it, they could lose their property, Duncan said. In all, 96 affidavits were submitted in support of Garcia. It was really a whole town's group effort, Meehan said. I'm really proud of this town. Garcia sends heartfelt thanks to everyone who helped, submitted an affidavit, said prayers or made phone calls. Now, thanks to support from her son and daughter-in-law, Garcia is the owner of that property and can rest easy this Christmas knowing the whole ordeal is behind her. That's my Christmas present, she said. And that's Williams resident keeps home after local support. Our next article, feds close to releasing draft environmental review of Colorado River management options. This is by Jennifer Solis of the Nevada Current from the 23rd. In the next few weeks, the public will get their first look at a critical document 2.5 years in the making that will define how the Colorado River is managed for the next decade. The Bureau of Reclamation, which manages water in the West under the Interior Department, is on track to release a draft environmental review by early January with a range of options to replace the river's operating rules, which are set to expire at the end of 2026. Several elements of the draft were shared during the annual Colorado River Water Users Association conference in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace on December 17th. Negotiations between federal officials and the seven western states that rely on the Colorado River have largely remained behind closed doors since 2023, but any new operating rules will be required to go through a public environmental review process before a final decision can be made. Interior Department Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, Andrea Travnicek, said the agency is committed to meeting the self-imposed January deadline in order to finalize new rules before the current ones expire. The Department of the Interior recognizes a shrinking timeline is in front of us in order to operate under a new potential agreement, Travnicek said. In an unusual move, federal water officials said the draft will not identify which set of operating guidelines the federal government would prefer, which is typically included in environmental reviews. We will not be identifying a preferred alternative, but we anticipate the identification of that between the draft and the final, said Bureau of Reclamation's Senior Water Resource Program Manager, Carly Gerla. Instead, the draft environmental review will list a broad range of possible alternatives designed to enable states to continue working toward a seven-state consensus agreement on how to share the river's shrinking water supply. We want to continue to facilitate but not dictate these operations. The goal here is to inform decision makers and encourage parties to adopt agreements that put consultation and negotiation first, Gerla continued. Lower basin states, California, Arizona, and Nevada, and upper basin states, Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, and New Mexico, have been at an impasse for months over how to manage the Colorado River's shrinking water supplies. Last month, the states missed a federally imposed deadline to submit a preliminary seven-state consensus plan that could replace the river's operating guidelines after days of intense closed-door negotiations. States' last chance to share a final consensus-based plan will be mid-February 2026 in order to reach a final agreement in the summer, with implementation of the new guidelines beginning in October 2026. The Bureau of Reclamation's Acting Commissioner, Scott Cameron, said he and other federal officials have intensified efforts to bring states to a consensus, flying out west every other week since early April to meet with the seven states' river negotiators. There are a number of issues from decades past that some people are having some difficulty getting past, Cameron said, adding that states must be willing to set aside previous perceived inequities and unfairness. One of the biggest disagreements between the upper and lower basin states is over which faction should have to cut back on their water use and by how much. Lower basin states want all seven Colorado River states to share mandatory water cuts during dry years under the new guidelines. The upper basin, which is not subject to mandatory cuts under current guidelines, say they already use much less water than downstream states and should not face additional cuts. Despite states missing past deadlines, Cameron said he was cautiously optimistic states will reach a consensus deal by the February deadline. It's not unusual in the negotiating process that tougher decisions get made the closer you get to the deadline, and frankly, there are tough decisions that have to be made, Cameron said. On December 16th, California's biggest water district said they were willing to set aside many of their legal positions in order to reach a seven-state agreement. The Bureau of Reclamation provided a broad overview of the components that will be included in the draft's range of options, including guidelines to reduce water deliveries from Lake Mead during shortages, coordinated reservoir operations for Lake Mead and Lake Powell, and storage and delivery mechanisms for conserved water. Gerla, Reclamation Senior Water Resource Program Manager, said the draft alternatives will include some components previously proposed by states. She said the agency has adopted a number of temporary operational agreements since 2008 to address changing conditions on the river. Those agreements have served as test runs for a long-term agreement and emphasize the need for more flexibility when managing the river from year to year. We want to preserve ourselves the flexibility to come back to the table to do reviews, to make consensus adjustments if needed, Gerla said. That flexibility to operations will likely be needed again this year due to a less-than-average upcoming snow season that, combined with a dry spring or early summer in 2026, could create conditions for another low runoff year. We're monitoring the forecast, and we're seeing not a great start to water year 2026. It's still early in the year, but the way things are setting up, it isn't looking good, Gerla said. The two biggest reservoirs in the country, Lake Powell and Lake Mead, are currently at a fraction of their full capacity. Lake Mead is at 32% capacity, while Lake Powell is at 28%. Additionally, water inflow into the reservoirs in 2026 are projected to most likely be 75% of the average, according to the federal agency. The minimum probable inflow forecast for 2026 is 44% of average indicating a potentially very dry year. That's feds close to releasing draft environmental review of Colorado River management options. Our next article, Williams to ring in the new year with first ever car drop. This is from the 23rd of December by Calvin Shoemaker, Williams. New Year's Eve is synonymous with the ball drop in New York City, and in northern Arizona, the same can be said about Flagstaff's Pinecone Drop and Prescott's Boot Drop. But here in the gateway to the Grand Canyon, the city of Williams is set to make history this New Year's Eve with a car drop at midnight. As a tip of the cap to the centennial of Route 66 and a celebration of the town's automotive history, a 1927 Chevrolet Capital will be lowered by crane to ring in 2026. Built in 1926, the old Chevy still runs and will be decked out in festive holiday lighting. The old car will be hoisted up to 100 feet in the air, according to City of Williams Executive Assistant D.D. Mahan, who says the epicenter of activity will be by the community stage in the Visitor Center parking lot at 200 West Railroad Avenue. Williams has never done anything like this, Mahan said. The first of its kind event will offer fun for the entire family. Beer and wine will be available for adults, the ice skating rink will be open until 11:30 p.m., and the Williams Fire Department will put on a fireworks display. There'll also be music and other refreshments. Although Mahan was one of the main organizers, she said the event couldn't be done without the dedication of the entire city staff and volunteerism from organizations like the American Legion and High Country Fire. The whole City of Williams staff, from maintenance to streets to police to the girls at the front desk, they are amazing at everything that they do, Mahan said. And that's Williams to ring in the new year with first ever car drop. Doreen Holche writes our next article, Annual Women's Soup Lunch Brings Smiles, Benefits, Quilt Ministry. This is from the 23rd of December, Williams. The annual Women's Soup Lunch was held December 18th at the Community United Methodist Church, 127 West Sherman Avenue. The event featured homemade soups, breads, and desserts. Quilts made by the group were available for purchase. The quilt ministry is entirely self-funded through quilt sales. The group purchases 4 to 5 rolls of batting annually at approximately $250 per roll to create quilts for those in need. Over the years, the ministry has distributed quilts to orphanages in Russia and Africa, a neonatal intensive care unit in Vietnam, facilities in Mexico, Flagstaff Sunshine Rescue Mission, local women's shelters, and the Prescott VA Hospital. Recipients have also included unwed mothers and others in need. Additional quilts are available for purchase. For information, contact Vicki Andros at 602-625-9116. And that's annual Women's Soup Lunch Brings Smiles, Benefits, Quilt Ministry. Next, Williams Fire Department names Firefighter of the Year, honors Jeff Dent for 25 years. The Williams Fire Department held its Christmas party last week. Jeff Dent was recognized for 25 years of service, and Brooklyn Maybe was named Firefighter of the Year. The department also welcomed its new volunteer firefighters. That's Williams Fire Department names Firefighter of the Year, honors Jeff Dent for 25 years. You're listening to this Christmas edition of Northland Views with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Or if you'd like to listen to it stream or even at a time of your choosing, go to sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. And that's available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. Next, we have Williams High School basketball teams to enter 2026 with winning records. Calvin Shoemaker writes this article from the 23rd. The Williams High School boys basketball team is off to an 8-3 start heading into the new year. The Vikings opened the season with back-to-back wins before going 4-2 in the Coach Edgar Brown Route 66 basketball tournament earlier this month. Since then, the boys have won two of their last three outings with victories over Ash Fork and Sedona. On December 16th, the Vikings dropped a non-conference home game to Camp Verde. The Vikes took a 12-point lead into halftime, but a second-half surge from the Cowboys was the difference as the Vikings fell 62-54. Sophomore Anthony Martinez had a game-high 15 points against Camp Verde. Josh Rue Wilbur scored 12 and knocked down a pair of three-pointers. Mario Pedraza chipped in 9 points, and Jack Dent and Cade Trimble each had 7. Lady Vikings win 2 in a row. The Lady Vikings are 6-5 going into January. The girls' team snapped a 3-game losing streak with a 66-34 win at home over Camp Verde on December 16th, and followed it up with a 55-6 road win at Sedona. Both the girls and the boys teams are scheduled to play in the Epic Tourney's New Year's Classic, January 2nd and 3rd in the Phoenix area, before returning home for a regional showdown against Seligman on January the 7th. That's Williams High School basketball teams to enter 2026 with winning records. Next, Park Shares update to construction schedule. This is from the 23rd, Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon National Park has announced Trans Canyon Waterline, the TCWL construction closure-related work for 2026. Rock falls occurred along a section of the river trail in August, causing a 50-foot section of the trail to collapse and triggered the need for additional assessments and work to rebuild the trail. Expected visitor use area closures include Plateau Point Trail north of the Tonto Trail Junction to Plateau Point, October 12, 2023 through June 30, 2026. The River Trail east of River Rest House to South Kaibab Trail Junction, October 21, 2024 through June 30, 2026. And Silver Bridge, October 21, 2024 through June 30, 2026. The North Kaibab Trail is currently closed north of the Clear Creek Trail Junction due to damage from the 2025 Dragon Bravo fire. TCWL construction activities are planned along the North Kaibab Trail in 2026 between Cottonwood Campground and the Roaring Springs Pump House. Trail users will need to use the Black Bridge through June 30, 2026 to cross the Colorado River. The Bright Angel Trail is open from the South Rim Trailhead to Pipe Creek Beach for use up and down the trail. There'll be no access to Phantom Ranch via the River Trail. The River Rest House is open. Hikers may continue to traverse between the Bright Angel Trail and the South Kaibab Trail via the Tonto Trail. The construction areas and schedule are subject to change, and visitors are encouraged to check the park's website for the current operational status. Additional closures may be needed in 2026, and the information will be published as soon as any schedule updates are confirmed. Originally built in the late 1960s, the TCWL provides potable water for facilities on the South Rim and Inner Canyon. The waterline has exceeded its expected lifespan and experiences frequent failures, which require expensive and continuous maintenance work to repair leaks. Over the past couple of months, there were 3 significant breaks in the TCWL. The water utility crew recently completed complex repairs to the old Trans Canyon waterline, enabling the park to begin easing some water restrictions today, December 17, 2025. In 2023, the National Park Service started construction on a multi-year $208 million rehabilitation of the Trans Canyon waterline and upgrades to the associated water delivery system. This crucial investment in infrastructure will ensure the park is able to meet water supply needs for millions of annual visitors and approximately 2,500 year-round residents. That's Park Shares Update to Construction Schedule. Now we'll turn to Grand Canyon Conservancy Helps Wildlife Collaring Move Forward. During the recent lapse in federal funding, when many park operations were paused, Grand Canyon Conservancy, the GCC, provided critical, timely support that allowed two high-priority wildlife conservation projects to move forward without delay. Thanks to GCC's funding and the collaboration of SRM wildlife staff, law enforcement rangers, seasonal wildlife and vegetation crews, and dedicated volunteers, Grand Canyon National Park successfully completed GPS collaring operations for both elk near the South Rim Village and bighorn sheep from the Bright Angel Pack. These collaring efforts are essential groundwork for launching the park's innovative conservation K9 program. The GPS collars are used strictly to collect location data prior to the deployment of Blue, the conservation canine, who will help reduce human-wildlife conflict by gently deterring animals from high-use visitor areas. The collars do not influence animal behavior electronically. Instead, they allow biologists to understand baseline movement patterns and later evaluate how those patterns change over time. The work was both complex and time-sensitive. Five individually marked habituated elk were collared just before their temporary paint markings faded with winter and before calving season restricted spring operations. Shortly after, five bighorn sheep were collared during the narrow fall and early winter window when conditions allow safe access and visibility before sheep disperse into more rugged terrain. Grand Canyon Conservancy's support during a critical moment ensured the scientific integrity of the program and positioned the park for long-term success. This information was provided by the National Park Service for Grand Canyon Conservancy Helps Wildlife Collaring Move Forward. Next, restoration work ongoing at historic Phantom Ranch building. This from the 23rd of December. Rehabilitation work is underway at Phantom Ranch on the historic building that now serves as the wastewater treatment plant operator's residence. Originally constructed in 1923 as a U.S. Geological Survey laboratory, the structure reflects the long history of scientific work in the Inner Canyon and continues to support essential park operations today. This work is being conducted by the Park Service's Historic Preservation Training Center in close collaboration with Grand Canyon National Park staff. The training center's mission is to preserve and maintain historic park facilities while developing the next generation of preservation professionals through hands-on experiential learning. The project focuses on upgrading aging interior systems while preserving the building's historic character. Electrical, plumbing, and mechanical systems are being modernized to meet current code requirements. Interior finishes in the kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom are being rehabilitated, and significant improvements are being made to address long-standing rodent and pest intrusion. Window rehabilitation is also planned to restore full functionality while maintaining the building's historic appearance. Due to Phantom Ranch's remote location, all materials and debris are flown in and out by helicopter in coordination with the park's aviation team. Upcoming work will include electrical and plumbing, rough-ins, and insulation installation. This effort reflects the park's commitment to protecting historic resources while ensuring safe, functional housing for employees who support critical Inner Canyon utilities. This information was provided by the Park Service for restoration work ongoing at historic Phantom Ranch building. Moving on, local woman thanks anonymous person who paid electric bill. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 23rd. Williams. It's the season of giving, and one local woman who was so moved by another person's act of kindness that she stopped by the Williams News last week and held back tears to share her heartfelt appreciation for their generosity. Although the 67-year-old woman and Williams resident of nearly a decade wishes to remain anonymous, like her unknown supporter who covered her electric bill of more than $400, her story is reflective of the small town with a big heart reputation for which Williams is known. The woman, an active community member, said she went to pay her electric bill when a staff member told her someone had come in and chosen to pay her full outstanding balance. The recipient of the good deed was moved to tears and wanted it to be shared with readers this holiday season that there's a lot of good in this world, she said, and also good people, especially in this small mountain town. That's local woman thanks anonymous person who paid electric bill. We'll close this Christmas edition of Northland Views with Departing Bressler Passes Baton to Woolman by Calvin Shoemaker from the 23rd, flanked by the Chick-fil-A cow and the Falcon mascot, Williams Elementary Middle School principal Jeanette Bressler passed the baton to assistant principal Andrew Woolman during a school assembly on December 17th. This month, the Williams Unified School District Governing Board named Woolman interim principal for the second semester of the school year after Bressler announced her intent to retire a semester early. Bressler will be going to work for Chick-fil-A and is moving out of the area after the new year following a 27-year career in education. Following a student performance of the Nutcracker, Bressler read her students one last story and took time to thank her family, students, and staff before passing the baton to Woolman. Bressler was then presented a commemorative quilt on behalf of WEMS PTSA, students, and staff. Nets Departing Bressler passes baton to Woolman. Well, this is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining me for this Thursday edition of Northland Views. And also, I'd like to remind you, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.